Glory to God for that. Yes, hymn 67. Jesus paid it all. First, third, and fourth.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Be seated tonight, and let's grab our Bibles. We'll get right to the message. In the book of Galatians, of course. AC feels good. Anybody need a pew Bible besides Shane? All right. Galatians chapter 5. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to finish chapter 5. And that would leave just chapter 6 to go. And moving right along through the book. Tonight's message I've entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. Last Wednesday was a little bit gloomy because we had to go through these verses on the works of the flesh, you know. And the works of the flesh are just so ugly, you know. But I'm so glad that tonight verse 22 starts with the word but. But I love the buts in the Bible. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, we're going to cover 22 through 26 tonight. Look with me here in Galatians 5, beloved. We begin reading in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the fruits of the Spirit tonight listed in these verses. And Lord, how we thank you that as children of God, we have a new divine nature that your Holy Spirit put within us. And because of your Holy Spirit within us, we are enabled to walk in the fruits of the Spirit by walking in the Spirit. And we're so thankful, Lord, that because of this new divine nature, we don't have to walk according to the works of the flesh. We're so grateful, Lord, that there is divine deliverance from the works of the flesh, and it is found in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We love you tonight, and we thank you for the church, Lord. Thank you for the great testimonies tonight, and the needs that have been brought up, and the prophecies that we're seeing fulfilled, and the joy of the Lord that is in the church, the excitement that we're having within the body here, the church family, because of the upcoming events, Lord, and the soon to be coming, returning Lord Jesus Christ will be raptured out. We're really excited, Lord, and we're thankful that you're getting us ready for your return. Oh, Lord, thank you. Increase our faith. Bless us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, last week, church, we saw the danger of walking in the flesh, of the works of the flesh, and that living in the flesh and being controlled by the flesh only leads to death. It's dangerous to live in the flesh. You can die before your time. But here, in verse 22, the Apostle Paul reveals the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And notice the two places of origin for these two walks. The one, works of the flesh. The second, fruit of the Spirit. It says in verse number 19, it says, the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are of the sinful Adamic nature. But then we have, in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are literally from, originated by, the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? So God gets all the glory when you walk in the Spirit. When you demonstrate and manifest the fruit of the Spirit, God gets all the glory for that. Because it's not from you. It's from His Spirit within you. He's saying that though these fruits of the Spirit are not natural to our old nature, yet they are natural to the Holy Spirit, who is the producer of the new nature within. Let me repeat that. The fruit of the Spirit, they are natural to the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? It's a natural way for you to live if you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Just as the works of the flesh are a natural way for the lost person to live because they know no better. They have no option. You have the option. All right. Now, let's observe, first of all, tonight, the first fruit found in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, I love that. The very first fruit that the Holy Spirit names on this list of beautiful things is love. I believe, beloved, the reason for this is clear. Love is the key to everything we do. Love is the key to the Christian life. And love is something that you can't fabricate. It's something that comes from God, as we're going to see here clearly. Love, this love in the believer, fruit of the Spirit, number one, is of God, generated by His Holy Spirit from within. It's not something you can go down to Rite Aid and purchase. Walmart, they have everything but love. You can't buy love. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Hold your place in Galatians. In Romans chapter 5, we see the origin of this love of God that's in you. In Romans 5, look at verse 5. Paul says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God..." Who's the love of? God. It's of God. But where is it? Look at it. "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Because you're born again, you've received the Holy Ghost, you have the love of God in you. That's why there's no excuse for Christian divorce. If you're both saved, that is, you have the love of God. You have something the world doesn't have. Why is the divorce rate in the world like 72%, some astronomical figure? Because they don't have the love of God to keep their love burning bright. But when you have Jesus, you have someone keeping your love burning bright. You have someone keeping your love for one another, husbands and wives. Glory to God for that. And this love of God is come directly from God's Spirit, it says in verse 5, by the Holy Ghost, not by me. I'm so thankful for that. Go with me to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4, hold your place again in Galatians. In 1 John chapter 4, we see the origin of this love. In 1 John chapter 4, look with me at verse 7. John writes, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, here we see clearly that God's number one attribute, apart from his holiness, which is supreme, is love. God is love, verse 8 says. Look at that. God is love. God is the essence of love. If you love someone, everybody here loves somebody. Well, that's why you're here. You love somebody. You love your mom. Your mom gave birth to you, right? You love somebody. If you love somebody, anybody at all, it's because God gave you that love in your heart for that person. Even lost people. The Bible says love. Lost people love. They don't love with the Holy Spirit, but they love. And love is of, from God. God is love. Think about that. Let that sink down deep in your soul. God is love. Wow. Powerful stuff. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And that love, number one, is in your heart to Jesus Christ. You love him supremely over all else, anything else, right? Or anybody else. And then that love is demonstrated to the brethren, to people. Let me just say, to people, lost or saved. You love and his love flows through you. Secondly tonight, the second fruit, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy. Oh, I like this. This joy, the Greek word is chara. And it's where we get our English word cheerio. Be of good cheer. This joy is none other than the joy of the Lord. Amen. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This joy is of God. This joy is given to us from the Son of God. In verse number 6, we read 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. And ye, Thessalonians, became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Notice the source of this joy, the Holy Ghost. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit, just like the love. It's of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you have to work up, like the works of the flesh, because it's given freely by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. And look with me in Romans 14 at verse 17. Verse 17 we read, for the kingdom of God. Now, you can't see the kingdom of God. It's invisible, right? One day we'll see it, literally. But right now, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why, folks, the world is so miserable tonight. They don't have any joy. They don't have any peace because they don't know God. It says that joy is found in, verse 17, the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you so much. This one in the fridge?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, sir. Bless you, my son. Oh, it's nice and cold. It's the rest of my voice here. Yes, and it's in the Holy Ghost. He is the source of this joy. That's why nobody can take that joy from you. The devil will try. He'll send people against you. But you don't have to give up that joy because it's a possession that you get from Jesus. Chapter 15 of Romans, look at verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you. This is what God wants for you. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Notice again, the joy is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Where is he? Where is he? It's right, in you and you and you and me. He's in us, and that's why we have the joy of the Lord. Thirdly, a third fruit of the Holy Spirit is found in verse 22. Love, joy, peace. Peace. Oh, I like this. The Greek word is eirene. Irene, this peace is what the world lacks and needs. Amen? There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. People can't have peace. And I'm talking about peace of soul, peace of heart and mind, peace where you can go to sleep at night and sleep like a baby because you got the peace of God. Amen? It's a peace that God gives. And if you don't know God, you don't have this peace. Now, what happens is the world has temporal peace, what I call temporal peace. They'll have peace one day, they'll be up, you know, and then they say, oh, I can't leave you alone, no talking, just a grouch, you know. Why? Because this peace is not fabricated. This peace is a gift. It's a gift of God to you. Because you have His Holy Spirit, you have His peace. And you've made peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh boy, John chapter 14. Go to the Gospel of John 14. The Lord spoke much about this peace that Paul names in Galatians 5:22. In John 14, words in red, Jesus spoke of it. And He said in John 14, verse 27, what's the first word? Peace. Peace I leave with you. Jesus was going back to the Father here. But He says, I'm leaving something behind. Something that you're going to experience in your daily life. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, not temporal peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is saying, let my peace possess your heart. Chapter 16 of John. In chapter 16, look with me at verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Notice in verse 33, Jesus didn't say you're going to have a bed of roses. Jesus didn't going to say it's going to be all smooth sailing, no ripples on the water. Jesus said you'll have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. Because I've given you something they can't take from you. And that's my peace. That's my peace. Listen to me. The more time we spend on our knees in prayer and our nose buried in this book, the more peace of God we're going to have. And people are going to see that. People are going to say, there's something different about Rita. She's got a peace about her and I like it. I want to know what it is. And then you'll get to tell them about your Savior, right? Look at chapter 20 of John's Gospel. The peace of Jesus Christ Himself is in you. Wow. In chapter 20, look with me at verse 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what's the first word? Peace. Wow. Peace be unto you. The first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth when He appears after His resurrection, is peace. You know what Jesus wants you to have tonight? He wants you to have the blessed peace of heaven. No matter what you're going through. And I know this is hard. I know this is hard. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In Christ Jesus, this is the will of God concerning you. What is hard for us is to learn how to retain that peace despite my circumstances. And some of us have difficult circumstances tonight. But you can have His peace in the midst of that storm, in the midst of those circumstances. Look with me at verse 20. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Jesus says, boys, I want you to have my peace in you. You know what puts a smile on your Heavenly Father's face? When you get up in the morning, you go about your day walking in the peace of God. He says, I like that. My sons and my daughters, they're walking according to my peace. They have trouble, but they're retaining my peace. They're not letting the devil rob it from them. Verse 26, and again after 8 days, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He passed through solids, amen. I like it. And He stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Three times in three verses, Jesus, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. I love it because He wants me to have His peace. Now, what's the opposite of having peace? That's when you what? Begins with a W. War. Worry. And war, that's right. Worry. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to... Peace. Jesus says, peace. Don't worry. Just let my peace control your heart and mind. All will be well. Fourthly, Galatians 5. Look at this. Another fruit. found in verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Now, long-suffering literally means slowness in avenging wrongs. It's, you don't get even with somebody. Slowness in avenging wrongs is when people come against you, they hurt you, they ridicule you, they malign you. You don't retaliate. You're long-suffering. You're suffering with that longly, lengthly. God is long-suffering. Aren't you glad God is long-suffering? Hey, I'd probably be in hell today, dead and buried 6 feet under, if God wasn't long-suffering with Bob Oliver. I spent 28 years of my life rebelling against his will and not caring about his son. He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. Some of us have gone a lot longer than that, and yet he is long-suffering till we come to that point of meeting him and loving him. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, look with me at verse 2. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. With long-suffering. When someone does you wrong, don't retaliate. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. But long-suffering is the Holy Spirit saying, no, I'm not going to get in the flesh and come back against this person. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them instead. That's long-suffering. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, we see this word over and over in the Bible. Long-suffering. Look at chapter 1, verse 11. Here's how you will have long-suffering. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. That's the Holy Spirit. Unto, look what it produces. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He says you can suffer when people wrong you with joyfulness and with patience. See that, verse 11? I like that verse. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Look at verse 12. And then we'll move on. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Long-suffering. It's something we have to put on. We have to be prepared to be long-suffering with those who wrong us. Okay. Fifthly, I see a fifth fruit of the Spirit. In verse 22, he says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Gentleness. Now, how many of you know Steve, Big Steve? Big Steve's about 320 pounds. He's about 6'6". He's a big man. You know what I call him? I call him the gentle giant. You know why? Steve doesn't have a mean bone in his body. Steve wouldn't hurt an ant. He is a massive man, but he would never, and he, praise God, he was over there carrying dresses out on his shoulder, loading up Doris' budget truck. He is huge, but he would never hurt a fly. He's a gentle man. Now, this is the fruit of gentleness. Gentleness, this is kindness, goodness, gentle in demeanor. Gentle in demeanor. You know, it's not like losing your temper and being angry. It's the opposite. It's being gentle. It's like, you ever heard this expression, you got to handle that person with kid's gloves? They're saying you got to be gentle with that person. They're easily upset or they're easily distracted. Be gentle with that person. It's the fruit of the Spirit, this gentleness. Ephesians chapter 2. It's spoken of quite a bit in the Bible, but the same Greek word for gentleness is translated kindness. Over and over again. For instance, let me give you a few examples of that. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 7. Verse 7. He says that in the ages to come, he, God the Father, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, that's gentleness, toward us through Jesus Christ. See that? God is gentle. He's got the quality of gentleness. And you all know it's true because he dealt with you and with me all the years we were in rebellion against him. God is gentle. God has his ways of drawing us to him. Amen? And it's not by beating us with a sledgehammer. Aren't you glad of that? He does it gently. You know, the Bible talks about the voice of the Holy Spirit being a still, small voice that Elijah heard in the cave. That's how God is. He's gentle. He doesn't force you to do his will even after you're saved. He's a gentleman. I like it. He's a gentleman. He asks you. He woos you by his Holy Spirit to do his will. But he won't force you because he's gentle. He has this quality. In Colossians chapter 3. The Greek word is krestotes. Krestotes for gentleness, but it's translated kindness over and over and over again. In Colossians 3. Whoever gets there first, read verse 12. Colossians 3:12.
The law is not of faith.
3:12. Colossians 3:12, Dennis.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Yes. And right in the middle of the verse, kindness, that's the Greek word krestotes. Same Greek word, gentleness. And he's saying, put it on, put it on. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, read verse 4, whoever gets there.
But after the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, to men appeared.
Yes. I'm in the wrong chapter. Exactly. Exactly. After the Christostes and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. That's the gentleness. The gentleness. Now, you know, this is the complete opposite of the nation of Islam. Muslims, true, I'm talking true Islam. True Muslims are taught to kill an unbeliever. That's not very gentle. Hello? That's not very gentle. But that's what their unholy book teaches them. Kill the unbelievers. That's not gentleness at all. Allah will never win anybody that way. Yet that's just rigid, mean law. And that's hatred. That's not love. It's all the opposite of the Holy Spirit. That's how we know we got the real God. Amen? Yeah. It just proves himself over and over that he's a true and living God. I'm so glad of that. Gentleness. Wow. Sixthly, a sixth fruit of the Holy Spirit, verse 22, is goodness. Goodness. Now, this goodness means, in the Greek, uprightness of heart and life. Uprightness of heart and life. Kindness. Goodness. You can look at that guy and say, boy, you know, he's just a good guy. He's just a really good guy. I've never heard an unkind word out of his mouth. That type of guy. Goodness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. See? And we learn this as we walk in the Spirit. This goodness. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Somebody read us verse 9. Look at that. The first thing listed in Ephesians 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. That person's living a good life. You know? Now, that's not the world's. The world's interpretation of living a good life is, you know, partying and all this drug scene and all that garbage of the world. But this is God's idea of a good life. That person is walking in the Spirit, bringing the fruits of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See that? Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Read us verse 11, somebody. Verse 11.
Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the word of faith to his power.
I love that verse because it talks about God's goodness. Amen? God's goodness in working out his will in your life. What does it say there in Romans 2 verse 4? For the what of God leadeth thee to repentance? Goodness. The goodness of God. He's a good God. And he wants us to walk in goodness as well. And we can do that by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit within. I see another fruit of the Spirit. Seventhly, the seventh fruit of the Spirit is listed in verse 22, and it is faith. Faith is a fruit or production of the Holy Spirit. Faith can't be fabricated. Faith can't be purchased. Faith cannot be constructed. Faith has to be given. Whose faith is it that we get? Oh, this is good. Faith. That's right, Val. It's Jesus Christ's faith given to you by his Spirit. We've seen that over and over and over in the book of Galatians. The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ in you. Oh, I love that. Faith is a production, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean? The Greek word is pistis. It means, listen, conviction of truth, belief pertaining to divine things, coupled with the assurance of trust and reliance upon God. That's what faith is. A person who has what we call saving faith, biblical faith, that person depends on God. They rely on God. You can see it in their life. They are literally, day by day, living by faith. They're trusting God and not the arm of flesh. That's what this faith is talking of. Now, how do we increase the fruit of faith? Think. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Thank you, class. The Word of God. The more you get in the Word of God, and the more the Word of God gets in you, I'll give you a B minus on that one, Shane. The more the Word of God gets in you, the more faith you're going to have. The more faith you're going to have. That's right. This book is so supernatural and divine that it literally produces faith in you. When you read it, you say, yeah, I believe that. Your faith is increased like a muscle, getting stronger and stronger. That's how faith works. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just before Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 24. 24 we read, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. You stand. You know why you're in church tonight? Because you have faith in Jesus Christ. That's why you're here, standing, victorious, because of your faith. There's, you know what, folks? Could you imagine if you could produce saving faith and bottle it? Wow, I'm saved! Wow. You'd be the richest guy on earth. But you know what? You are the richest guy on earth.
Amen.
Because you have something you can't purchase with money.
Thank
you. Have saving faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is so precious. It's the seventh fruit of the Spirit. And you stand by it. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Somebody read us verse 7.
Well, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Ah! Ha, ha, ha. We walk or live by faith and not by sight. And he says further on, while we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're living for eternity, not for temporal things. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, someone read us verse 15. 15.
Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints.
Oh yes. Now look what biblical saving faith in the Lord Jesus produces. You know what? You're here tonight? You love the other guys and gals that are here. You love the brethren. Why? Because you have saving faith. This puts you into a family. And families love each other. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And then we'll move on. In chapter 6, we're almost done. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Above all, must be pretty important, taking the shield of faith. Why, Paul? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said in verse 16, you can overcome the devil with the shield of faith. Every fiery dart he shoots at you, boom, boom, boom. Bounce right off that shield. Can't penetrate the shield of faith. It's indestructible. I love that. That's above all. How important is our faith tonight, church? Our faith, oh man, it is the most important piece of armor because it beats back the attacks of the enemy. Now, go with me to Galatians 5 for the eighth fruit of the Spirit. We find it in verse 23. Meekness. Meekness. Now, we are not meek by nature, because the natural man is always pushing and promoting himself forward ahead of others. Me, myself, and I, you know. Meekness is praeotes. It means mildness, gentleness, meekness. It's one who puts others before himself. That's what meekness is. The world knows nothing about meekness. The world says, give me all that gusto, you know. Me before you, you know, they climb over you to get there. No, meekness is, hey, you're more important to me. You go first, you know. Meekness is, you know what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Jesus is meek. He has a meekness, and he wants us to walk in meekness by his Holy Spirit. So important. Now, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just before Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me at verse number 1. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you, that's I beg you, by the meekness and gentleness of who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Paul says, I'm begging you to obey this commandment by the meekness of Jesus Christ. Wow. Jesus, my Savior, is meek. He has the quality of meekness, therefore I want it. I want to be known for that. Amen? Not demanding my rights and give me what I got coming. You better not get what's coming to you. You'll be in hell. Meekness says, no, you're more important than me. Galatians, back to Galatians. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He says, you don't go to that brother and say, I saw you with that bottle of whiskey. You better get right, you scoundrel. You'll go to hell. No, number one, he won't go to hell. He's saved. Number two, you're not doing the right spirit. The spirit of meekness says, brother, put your arm around him. Say, brother, let me pray with you. This is between you and I. Nobody will know. We're going to pray for you, for strength, for grace to overcome that fault. See, that's meekness. That's meekness. Now, ninthly, finally, we have the ninth fruit of the Spirit in verse 23, and that is temperance. Temperance. Now, this is self-control, but I've changed that definition, Mrs. Strong, to spirit control, because I am not able to control my flesh. I need someone else to do that for me. And I know just the one, the Holy Spirit of God. Temperance, the definition Webster will give you, is self-control. Christian, listen to me. You don't have the strength. Only the Holy Spirit in you has the strength to control that. Why? Because it's sinful. It's wicked. It wants to do its own thing. It doesn't want to serve God. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to study. It needs the Holy Spirit to do that through it. See that? It's spirit control. Now, Strong's Concordance says, temperance is the virtue of one who masters his own desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. But I couldn't disagree more. I couldn't disagree more, beloved. Because if that's true, then you've got a works-oriented Christianity. I don't want works. I want grace. It is by his grace that we overcome the flesh through his spirit. Not through self-help groups and through self-effort. It's through the spirit. Now, I couldn't disagree. I tried for 28 years of my life to control my own desires and failed miserably. Failed miserably. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to control one's desires. And until your desires are placed into the hands of the Holy Spirit, you will not find victory. We have to allow him to do through us what we cannot do. You say, okay, you convinced me, Pastor. How do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. 2 Peter. Go with me to 2 Peter. Oh, I love this passage so much. This is going to tell you how you can do that. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Look here. Just about done. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, that's saving faith, with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby, by the knowledge, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what these? The promises of God's word. Ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How? How did you escape? Through the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious faith, verse 1. Now look at it, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, it's something you've got to work at. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. You see how you get temperance? There's the formula, the biblical formula right there. It's through the knowledge of God. Because as we learn more in the knowledge of God, the more temperance is going to be found in your life by the Holy Spirit in you. If the whole key, beloved, if you didn't hear anything else I said tonight, hear this. This book is the key to your godly living. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You've heard it said. Yeah. This book is almighty, it's divine, it's of holy origin, it's not of this world. How do I know that? Because it had the power to change a scoundrel like me. And I'm sure you can say the same. This book is, there's nothing like it in all the universe. You can't produce it, you can't copy it, you can't fabricate it. It's from God, and it's for you. And through it, we gain the ninth fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance. Now, quickly, in closing, notice, observe the limitless supply of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. You know what he's saying? He's saying there is no limit to how much of these fruits you can obtain. There is no law barring you from getting more of these fruits. Okay? It's a limitless supply. It's an artesian well that never runs dry. The fruit of the Spirit is always alive and active. And you can't get too much of it. You can't OD on the fruit of the Spirit. I'll tell you, man, at the hospital, we get like 5-6 heroin overdoses a day coming in there. And these people, they're trained. They know what to do to save their lives. Most of them. But boy, it's sad. It's sad. Well, you can't overdose on the fruit of the Spirit. You can't get enough. 11th, quickly. Notice the past crucifixion of the flesh. 24. And they that are Christ, are you Christ's? You belong to Him? Okay. Have, past tense, crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, notice the past tense in verse 24. You say, when did I do that? I'll tell you when. The moment you got saved, your flesh was crucified. You say, how did I do it? You didn't. Yeah. Someone did it for you. Flip back a page to chapter 2. Look at verse 20. Paul says, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ, because I was when I believed. Wow. Powerful stuff. Now, I didn't crucify my flesh. Jesus did. He did it right. Something else. 12. Observe Paul's admonition. Verse 25. Chapter 5. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the indication here is that you can be alive spiritually. You can have the Holy Spirit within and not walk in the Spirit, but in the flesh. The other indication is that you can be alive spiritually and have the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. That's a good sign, amen? Paul's observation here is that many Christians make the mistake of not realizing that just because they're saved, they're not going to automatically walk in the Spirit. The will is involved. We must yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says you've got to choose which way you're going to walk, in the flesh or in the Spirit. Finally, notice Paul's warning, verse 26. He says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, this vainglory, it means empty boasting. Empty boasting. Did you ever meet a Christian who just thinks he's God's gift to the world? Or her? They go, I'm so spiritual. I'm just a giant. You need advice? Come to me. You know what their problem is? Me, myself, and I. They are living in vainglory, thinking too highly of themselves. That's the problem right there. And he says, don't do that. Don't provoke one another. Don't envy one another. Now, beloved, in closing, let me say this. One will say, well, Pastor, this walking in the Spirit seems like an impossible attainment, and I just don't see how anyone could ever do it. Well, that's a true statement. So that's exactly what God wants you to think. Why don't we allow Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit within us, to live through us, this manifesting His holy life in and through our bodies as we simply yield to the Holy Spirit? Amen? It's not you living it. It's Jesus Christ living through you the life that you could not live. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for walking in the Spirit. This message on the fruit of the Spirit. How we thank you, Lord, that we can all do it because we all have the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the only reason we can do it is because of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the exchanged life, the crucified life, the surrendered life, the consecrated life, the life that is Jesus Christ. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, and I do not frustrate the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for such amazing grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and the fruit that he produces in our daily lives. We treasure it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. Mm-mm. And let's open up to hymn number 13. We'll finish with hymn 13 prior to our prayer meeting. And we'll sing all four. All hail the power, not just of his name, but of his Holy Spirit working in us. Oh, yes, indeed. Shall. Brother Shane dismiss us in prayer tonight, and don't forget, Sunday morning we'll be here worshiping the Lord again.
Thank you. Father, for your Son that you gave us. And we thank you that he was our one and only Savior, or one and only suitable Savior. We thank you for the nine fruits you've given us and that you produce in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother.